God, may the words which I speak and the thoughts that we think together and the actions that we would take as a result be acceptable and pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. All four gospel authors record Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem on the Sunday before his crucifixion. And as we would expect, they each bring out various aspects of the event due to their unique purposes in writing their gospel. Like four different video cameras capturing the same event from different perspectives, we gather a much more complete understanding of any event by watching the replay from various camera angles. And sometime soon, you might wish to read through all four gospel accounts of Jesus' entry into Jerusalem and reflect on what each author is emphasizing. Last year on Palm Sunday, we looked at John's account of the triumphal entry, and we noticed how he drew our attention to many of the ironies that occurred during the event. Today, we consider Luke's account. And while we notice a hint of irony as well, what most stands out to me about Luke's presentation is his stress on the great possibility of the moment and Jesus' even greater sorrow at the opportunity missed by the people that day. Luke alone records for us the opposition of some of the religious leaders, and he alone records Jesus' pointed response and his lament over the city for failing to grasp what had been spread out before them just as plainly as the garments spread on the road beneath the colt's feet. Look more closely at verse 37 and following. Jesus is riding into the city on a colt of a donkey, and the elated crowd began to shout, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest." We realize right away that Jesus is a king, but he is a king on a mission of peace. We know that this is Luke's emphasis for two reasons. First, because he chooses to record the crowd's quotation of Psalm 118. And scholars tell us that that psalm originally depicted the king leading pilgrims to the temple and receiving a greeting from the priests, probably on the occasion of some great military victory. It recognized that the king and his entourage had come with God's approval. The multitude saw Jesus' entry into the city as the coming of a king. They saw it as fulfillment of an Old Testament prophecy found in Zechariah 9, verse 9, which stated, "See, your king comes to you lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." In Jesus' choice of transportation, we see that the nature of his mission was to bring peace. A king riding on the colt of a donkey was an unexpected thing. A king surely would come into the city astride a mighty war horse. But this king chose a donkey, the mount of a man of peace. He did so to underline that his mission was one to bring us ultimate peace. And he even says so as he laments over the city in verse 42, mournfully saying, "If you only knew what would bring you peace." Those words are as relevant to us today as they were 2,000 years ago when first spoken. If we only knew what would bring us peace. We go through our lives day after day, frantically pursuing that which we do not know, hoping that it will sate our gnawing dissatisfaction in our souls that we cannot quite explain. And all the while, Jesus holds out for us his nail-scarred hands, offering everything we truly need on a golden platter and says, "If you only knew, I am here to bring you peace." Jesus offers you peace with God, peace within, a way of finding peace with others. We only need receive it by faith. But like those present on the road into Jerusalem that day, we miss what is being offered because the eyes of our hearts are clouded by the cares, needs, concerns of the day. We are consumed with the lesser hopes that we have placed on the throne of ultimate importance in our lives. And so we become filled with anxiety, and we let it corrode the internal workings of our spirits, hollowing us out, making us empty, hungry, weak, frail. Even those who shouted Hosanna that day were missing what was being offered. They most needed the peace of God, but they proclaimed their political hopes. They wanted a political deliverer, and so they shouted, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord." And of course, all of that shouting started to make the religious leaders who had developed a tense peace on different terms, that is, a cozy coexistence with the foreign Roman occupiers, it made them just a little bit more than nervous. So they tell Jesus to rebuke his disciples. And Jesus offers a very intriguing response. It's one that is loaded with theological meaning. He says, "I tell you, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." If you have spent any time here at Grace, you know that that is one of my favorite lines of Scripture. I regularly work it into my pastoral prayer because I am so committed to the truth that it proclaims, the truth that all of creation, including you, including me, was created for the purpose of bringing glory to God. Psalm 66 says, "All the earth bows down to you. They sing praises to your name." Isaiah 6 says, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." And there is a hint of irony in this exchange. Creation is aware of who Jesus is, but the leaders of the nation were not. That which is inanimate knows life when it sees it, even though that which is living does not. Indeed, all of creation was made to worship and bring glory to God, and that includes you and me. The first question of the Westminster Catechism asks, "What is the chief end of man?" In other words, why are we here? What's the purpose of all this? What's the reason for all of this? And the answer is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. We have been made to worship God, not just on Sunday, but every day. And Jesus is telling us our highest and greatest purpose and the purpose of all creation is to worship God with our words and our deeds. Jesus can bring us peace. Jesus reveals to us our true purpose. And finally, our text points us to the possibility of the moment. Verse 44, Jesus laments because the people did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. Jesus' words encourage us to live in a state of spiritual awareness, to ask, what is God's intent for my life today? How is God coming to me today? Where is he leading me in this season of my life? If we don't develop that awareness, life simply becomes one long to-do list, a drudgery of endless tasks. But Jesus takes our hand. He comes to us in peace, with a purpose, and he leads us to his new Jerusalem, where heaven comes to earth, where we will sing, "For the night is o'er, Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna forevermore." Amen.